Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1. And I want to begin reading with verse 15. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Now I want to draw your attention to that very last phrase in verse 18, that in everything he might be preeminent. It's interesting that we use the ESV here, but in the New American Standard, it says it slightly different, that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to begin reading with verse 9. The writer of Proverbs says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. This week I want to explore the topic, first things first. Now, while I'll be framing a lot of what I have to say this morning around the issue of finances, the issue really isn't about money at all. The real issue is about the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. The idea of first things has a much broader implication for our lives than money alone. It impacts our time, our talents, our priorities as well. It is really about what or who is truly first in our lives. Giving God our first acknowledges him as first and allows his blessing to flow in our lives. I'm going to say that again. Giving God our first acknowledges him as first and allows his blessing to flow in our lives. Now, let me, before I go any further, make a disclaimer here. Because some of you might be thinking, okay, where is it going to go with this? Because I've heard different types of presentations, and it's usually down the prosperity line. And I want to make it very clear. The so-called prosperity message that maybe you have heard, give and God will give back to you and you'll be able to get the good things of life, that distorts the truth of Scripture and the gospel. I want to make that very clear. That's not where we're going this morning. The Bible does not teach us to give to get to satisfy our own desires. On the other hand, the Bible does teach a sowing and reaping principle in regard to finances as well as other areas of life. Harvest is a giving church. We together contribute significantly to missions. And when special needs are made known, people provide. My purpose is not to try to extract or coerce more money or giving this morning, but it is to remind each of us here of what is most important and putting first things first. What concerns me is the number of Christ followers who cannot seem to get victory in their lives, especially in the area of finances. And I am convinced that a big reason for many is the concept of first things. Now let me define first things. First things are the things in our lives that hold a place of primary importance, value, and worth. The initial or principal part of our resources. The best of what we have. This morning I want to share six principles regarding the biblical concept of first things. The first thing is this. The first things belong to the Lord. The first things belong to the Lord. What is His is not ours to do with as we please. And there are numerous passages in Scripture that bear that out. We can see that principle. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve and put them in a garden prepared for them. And God told them that everything is yours. Everything in this garden is yours, except for one thing. And that is the tree in the center. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only tree that Adam and Eve were forbidden to eat from. Their adherence to God's directive reflected their submission to God Himself. Their disobedience was an infringement on what belonged to God alone. And their violation ultimately brought a curse. We look later in the Old Testament and we see that God required that the firstborn belong to Him. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, the Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and of beast, is mine," the Lord said. They were not to be retained for personal use. They were to be brought to the place specified by the Lord, sacrificed and eaten as a celebration before the Lord. If the firstborn was a child, that child was redeemed by a sum of money because that child was considered to the Lord. We find a little bit later the waving of first fruits. Exodus chapter 23, verse 19. "The best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." Leviticus chapter 23, verses 10 and 11. "You shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." Leviticus 23, verse 14, a few verses later. "And you shall eat neither bread nor grain parched or fresh until this same day, until you have brought the offering of your God." Now, there were two observances among Israel that God instituted commemorating harvest. The waving of first fruits and the Feast of Weeks. The waving of first fruits, as we just described, was the first day after the Passover Sabbath. Now you have the initial day of Passover and then a feast that followed that for 7 days. The first day after the weekly Sabbath was the waving of first fruits. And it symbolized the commencing of the harvest season. Before anything was harvested for personal use, the first fruits were brought to be waved before the Lord. The very first of every harvest was God's. So they took from the fields the very first thing before they harvested anything else, and they brought it on that waving of first fruits, and the priest waved it before the Lord, basically giving it to the Lord, acknowledging, I should say, that it was the Lord's. Nothing was to be eaten from the harvest until the first fruits were offered. The very first of every harvest was God's. 50 days after that was the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot. We often know it as Pentecost. And on that day, a feast of thanksgiving to the Lord was given for the harvest. And it symbolized the conclusion of the harvest season. The point here is that the feast, and especially the waving of first fruits, indicated that there was a dedication of the very first of the harvest before anything else was brought in faith. They said, Lord, this is yours. And we believe that you will provide the rest. We have the principle of the tithe. The tithe of the land belonged to the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30, every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. It was collected after the harvest. It was set aside with a purposeful and thankful heart. It was seen as belonging to the Lord, not what was left over. What I want you to see in all of this is that we're not talking about getting to the last and giving it up to the Lord. It was set aside first, given to the Lord, and the rest was to be managed by the individual. We have the same principle in Jericho. It's very interesting because Jericho was the very first city that the children of Israel conquered when they came into the promised land. And God gave a very direct command regarding Jericho. Nothing is to be saved. It is to be completely devoted to the Lord. It is His. The first city as they came in. Now, as you might know the story, Rahab was preserved in her family because they helped the spies as they came in. But outside of that, and those were redeemed for the Lord, but outside of that, everything in Jericho was to be devoted to the Lord. Nothing was to be taken. But a man by the name of Achan saw some gold and some things that looked very fine. And he decided, I'm going to take that. No one will miss it. He took what was the Lord's. He went and he hid it in his tent. Well, the next city on the schedule was a city called Ai. Compared to Jericho, it was nothing. In fact, if I remember this story correctly, they decided, hey, we're not even going to take all the troops against this one. They got their butts whooped. And they went running. And they call out to the Lord, God, what took place here? What's going on? And through a series of seeking the Lord and God showing who it was, it came to the tent of Achan. And they said, Achan, what did you do? And he said, I took these things. And they went into his tent and they found it buried there. He had taken what was not his. He had taken what was devoted to the Lord for himself. And a curse came upon all of the people. It was not blessed. And they were unable to take Ai. Now, after they took care of the sin problem in their midst, they went back and utterly conquered Ai. But the first belongs to the Lord. A second point is that giving God our first acknowledges Him as preeminent. Deuteronomy chapter 14 verses 22 and 23. You shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year. And before the Lord your God, in the place that He will choose to make His name dwell there, you shall eat the tithe of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And that verse that we read earlier, Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, or as the New American Standard says, might have first place. Jesus Christ is Lord and above all. Whether we recognize him as such or not, Jesus Christ is Lord. It is in giving him our first that we personally acknowledge his lordship. In a small book by Mike Hayes, When God is First, he says this: the order of that which is given to him clearly defines his place in your life. He had it before you earned it, and he'll have it after you're done with it. What he does need is the first, because that is the position reserved for him. Now, let me remind you again, because you might be out there thinking, well, yeah, okay, here we go. Talk about money. And I already said that it involves much more than that, and let me emphasize again, it does. We're not talking really at the heart about finances. We are talking about what we do with the Lord. Do we give him first of all that we have? Giving God our first acknowledges him as preeminent, first place in our lives. A third point is that our first is not our last. Seems straightforward, right? Our first is not our last. It's not what is left over from our surplus. A lot of people handle giving. You know, you can't escape the fact that we're really sensitive to money. Okay? When we talk about it or anything else. But the reality is you can tell a lot about a person by what they invest in. And that you can tell a lot about a person by what they devote their first attention financially in their lives. And so when we come to this idea of first, you can't escape the reality of what we do with our finances. And many people approach giving from the sense of, you know, I'm going to pay for the phone bill and the power bill and the mortgage, and whatever is left over, I'll give to the Lord. But that's not the way God called us in obedience. He says, give me first. Remember the wave offering? It wasn't after the harvest when everything was stored up and they left the last bit. The wave was the first, the very first. And in our day, you know, a lot of times giving is given online. You know, we don't write checks anymore for the most part. But in our heart and mind, we need to have an attitude that before anything else, this is first. God is first. And then whatever is left over, we work with that for ourselves. It was interesting that in the New Testament, in Mark chapter 12 and Luke chapter 21, Jesus was sitting with his disciples watching the offering boxes at the temple. And there were some very obviously wealthy individuals that came and put huge bags of money in the boxes. And then there was a widow. And she could be determined to be a widow, likely because of the clothes she was wearing and how she carried herself. And Jesus noticed that she just dropped just one little coin. And Jesus' response was, you know, all these people that gave these huge sums of money, they gave out of their wealth. This widow, she gave all that she had. In God's eyes, that's what was really rewarded. That was the gift that put God first. It's the first. It's the best that we have. In the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel chapter 24, there's a story told about a plague that was ravaging over the land. And God instructed David in how to deal with that. And David went to, and this is a mystery as you read it, because you don't exactly know how it was, but somehow they could determine that it had come almost like a shadow over to a certain man's property. And David went there to the owner of that property, Arahuna, and said, "I want to sacrifice to the Lord. Do you have some oxen and some wood?" And he said, "Oh, King, it's yours. Take it. You don't have to pay for it. Take it and use it as an offering." And notice what David said in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. The king said to Arahuna, "No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. The principle is giving God first. David said, "I am not going to offer to the Lord what costs me nothing." God notices the integrity of our offering, whatever that offering might be, our time, our resources, whatever it might be. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 1. Right at the beginning, Malachi is prophesying the Lord's words. And he is declaring this: "A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? Says the Lord. And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar? But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts." You see what he's saying? Essentially what they were doing is, what's ever left over, the scraps, I'll give that to the Lord. It'll satisfy him. And the Lord's saying, try that with the leader, your governor. Do you think he would accept that? Why should I accept that as your Lord? It's not just what's left over. It's what we purpose in our heart from the beginning. God is honored when we offer him our first. Interesting story in Genesis chapter 4 between Cain and Abel. And it's somewhat of a mystery because we're not told entirely all the details, but what we are told is this. In Genesis chapter 4, beginning with verse 3. "In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell." Now you look at that, and what is clear is Abel offered from the firstborn of his flock. From the text, although it's not particularly clear, it appears that Cain just took some of the produce from the field, just some of the produce. It wasn't designated as first or anything else. It was just something that he grabbed and he kind of nonchalantly offered it up to the Lord. The Lord accepted Abel's, but rejected Cain's. God saw something in the heart that made the difference. That's the only conclusion that we can come to. Too often, we want to tip God out of what is left over rather than give him the first that he's due. God, you've really blessed me in this life. Here's a tip. But we haven't purposed in our heart to make him first or give him first. So our first is not our last. A fourth point is giving God our first allows him to redeem the rest. Back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. It is the first tenth that redeems the rest. Giving God anything but the first leaves the rest unredeemed and in many cases cursed. The first one is the only one that carries the power of redemption, if you want to look at it that way. The story of Abraham and Isaac in our Western thinking, especially in our contemporary thinking, we're thinking, oh man, the story, that's troubling in so many ways. But in essence, what took place was this. Most of you know the story that God promised Abraham a seed that would number like the stars of the sky and like the sand on the sea. And yet it didn't come and didn't come and didn't come. And Abraham decided to take his matters into his own hands with the help of, Sarah's suggestion and had a child by someone else. But God said, no, that's not the promise that I gave you. Hold on, Abraham. I will give you the promise. Well, way into Abraham's old age, beyond 90 years old, he gave birth to the promised son, Isaac. And about the time that Isaac was 12, God spoke to Abraham and said, I want you to take Isaac to Mount Moriah and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Decades of waiting and trusting in God, and finally God gives him a son, and now God is asking him to sacrifice him to him. Now keep in mind, this is a primitive world. We don't quite have the same cultural limitations that we have today. Immediately we'd say, well, that's not God because God values this, but you're talking about them that clearly heard the word of God. He knew it was, and he heard the word say, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. Doesn't say that he hesitated at all. He set right out on a journey to go to Mount Moriah. And he took Isaac, and they came close to the location. And Abraham and Isaac started out for the last leg, going to the top of Mount Moriah. And Isaac, the text says that he asked his father, I see the wood for the sacrifice, but I don't see the sacrifice. Abraham responded, God will provide. And so Abraham took Isaac, built the altar, bound Isaac, laid him on the altar. Scripture says he came back with his knife and an angel stopped him. He says, and the Lord spoke and said, I know that you trust me and that you would be obedient to me even unto the death of your son. And when he looked, there was a ram stuck in a thicket. And he took the ram and he sacrificed. God provided. But understand, Isaac was his first. And he was willing to give even his first. little piece of information that I mentioned a few weeks ago, actually, when I used the same example from Scripture, is Mount Moriah. Track it through Scripture. It is the mount upon which Jerusalem was built. It is the mount upon which Jesus was crucified. God gave his only son to die for us. And he didn't stop before the death. Another Old Testament example is found in 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah was told by God to go to the land of Zarephath and that God would provide for him there. He said, go to this widow that is in Zarephath and ask her to make you some cakes and some bread and so forth. So Elijah went and found this woman, and she had a son, and asked for some water, and she gave him water. And he says, when you're coming, quickly make me a little cake so that I can eat as well. And she said, sir, I have nothing. With just a little bit of flour left, and I was going to bake it, and my son and I were going to eat, and then we were going to be prepared to starve to death. And Elijah said, make it for me anyway. And she was obedient. She did it. She knew he was a prophet of God. She made the flour. And do you know, she gave what was all she had. Even though it was the last of what she had, in a very real sense, it was the first in preeminence of what she possessed. And she was obedient even to that point, and that flour never gave out. God provided for her ongoing from there. She put God first. Jesus is the first fruits of all who will be raised on the last day. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus was raised actually on the day of the feast of first fruits, the waving of first fruits. We are redeemed because he is the first fruits of all who will be raised. Giving God our first is the way of blessing. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, will he put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Malachi chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. The devourer will be rebuked. What remains will be blessed by putting him first. God is faithful. He will take care of those who put him first. Giving God our first allows him to redeem the rest. And then giving God our first is an expression of our faith. Faith, the first is given before the rest is evident. As we saw in the Feast of First Fruits, the waving before the Lord, it was done before the rest of the harvest was even brought in. Oh, something catastrophic could happen to the rest of the harvest and the whole thing could be lost. It hadn't been harvested yet. But the very first was taken. It was waved before the Lord. They declared, this is yours. And they did it in faith, believing that God would provide by putting him first. We give in faith, believing that God will bring the rest of the harvest. Hayes says again, tithe is given first in faith to guarantee God that he deserves first place because of who he is, not what he provides. It may be 10%, but if it is not the first fruits, it does not count as tithe. It's just an offering. God still blesses offerings, but not in the same way as when we honor him with our first. One final point. Withholding from God what belongs to him inhibits his blessing in our lives. Taking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had blessed Adam and Eve. They took what was not theirs. They didn't put God first. Achan kept for himself what was the Lord's in the destruction of Jericho. And it caused the defeat of the battle of Ai. Withholding from God brings a curse upon the resources we have. Malachi 3, 8 and 9. Again, will man rob God? You're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. Giving God our first acknowledges him as first and allows his blessing to flow in our lives. Now, I'm not trying to present a legalistic formula to acquire God's blessing. God is not a genie to be manipulated for our own personal benefit. He has, however, promised a blessing to those who will put him first. And if there is something in us that is keeping us back from saying, this is yours first, whether it's from our finances, whether it's from our time, our resources of any kind, if there's something that is holding back, it shows us where our heart is. It's not about money. It's about our time. It's about our resources. It's about our priorities and values. It's about the way we start our days and weeks. Is purposeful time with God first? And this is one, this is something that's kind of challenging for me. I set out to, you know, the very first thing in the day, to go downstairs at home, to read, to spend time with the Lord. But don't you know, and I've confessed this before, I don't generally consider myself ADD, but it seems like I get ADD when I sit down first thing in the morning and all of a sudden everything is going through my mind and I'm taking care of all this stuff. And I'm really, it's a battle. Say, God, this is first. But as we go out through this year in 2023, I am committing in my heart, my desire is to set that time first. Before I do anything else. God, you are first, and this is an indication of my faith. This is an indication of my heart for you. I want you to be first. And then I go through the rest of the day. Another question, though, is the beginning of the week with gathering together as a body to worship a priority? Because that's a first, too. We're starting the week together, gathering together. We're placing God first by gathering together with other believers, hearing the word, worshiping God. Is that a priority? Personal devotions is not a replacement for gathering together as a body in corporate worship. Ultimately, it's a matter of our heart and his lordship in our lives. Does he hold first place in our lives? If we say he does, are we honoring him with the first of all we have? It's not a matter of God's need. It's not a condition for salvation. It does affect, though, our victory in this life. We all need to ask, where do we need to place God first where we haven't already? And I think it's an appropriate time to preach a message like this at the beginning of a new year to evaluate ourselves. Where do we need to make God first? If you've never come to a place where you've received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that's the beginning point. Entering into a relationship with Him. We just came through celebrating His birth, but as we presented numerous times, He was born into this world to die on a cross, to rise again, and to ascend to the Father in full authority, King over all, Lord over all. But if you have never submitted your life to Christ, it's acknowledging that you need a Savior. Sin separates you from God. And Jesus came to bridge that gap. And you need to turn your life over to Him. Understand that there is no way that you can earn your relationship with the Father. But what you cannot do, Jesus did for you. And He's saying, come to Me. Everyone. His arms are open and wide. Come to Me, Jesus says. Accept Me as Lord and Savior. And enter into a relationship with the Father. But we need to lay down our lives to commit ourselves to Him. He will forgive. He will restore. He will give us new life. But it's only in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And help us to apply the principle of first things to our lives so that we understand and we commit ourselves to making You first, to declaring Jesus as Lord, and giving to Him the first of all that we have. Lord, may we walk and live in that truth and apply it in a new and a fresh way this new year. And we commit this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.